Hello, and welcome to Articulated Thought. Today we're going to be talking about word magic, domestication, and how the world is controlling us at the moment. I'm very passionate about this subject, so I will try to be concise, and I'm going to begin by reading a passage from the book The Four Agreements, and then I'm going to move on. All our normal tendencies are lost in the process of domestication. When we are old enough for our mind to understand, we learn the word no. The adults say, don't do this, don't do that. We rebel and say no. We rebel because we are defending our freedom. We want to be ourselves, but we are very little, and the adults are very big and strong. After a certain time, we are afraid because we know that every time we do something wrong, we are going to be punished. The domestication is so strong that at a certain point in our lives, we are no longer need anyone to domesticate us. We don't need mom or dad, the school, or the church to domesticate us. We are so well trained that we are our own domesticator. We are auto-domesticated animal. We can now domesticate ourselves according to the same belief system we were given, and using the same system of punishment and reward. We punish ourselves. We don't follow the rules according to our belief system. We reward ourselves when we are the good boy or good girl. Now, I really like this passage because it is kind of the epitome of fear and also confidence. I've found that when I am rewarded by people pursuing conversation with me, I generally think of myself as a good boy. I don't really like think that way, but it's like a subconscious thing. And so I generally pursue people that like having conversations with me, and it's part of my childhood. I was never grown up in the church. I never grew up in the church, but my domestication came from being a hooligan, being a punk when I was growing up. And I was always in trouble. I was always the kid that was grounded all the time, and because I could not stand not having my freedom. And okay, so I'm gonna continue on with how this ties into word magic. So word magic is the idea that every word that we say is a spell. It is, if I were to talk to someone directly, or even you listening to this podcast, when I say a word, when I say a collection of words in a sentence with structure, it is a spell because you are listening to it. And once you listen to it, you cannot remove it from your mind. It is something that happened, and you listened to it and then absorbed it, and you cannot forget it unless you know how to forget things, which is a little bit difficult. So in that sense, every word that I say, every music lyric that we listen to, everything that we say to each other is a spell. And we want it to be like, we want it to stick in the other person's mind. And so we have to be very careful of what we say to each other, because it's like a responsibility. When you're having a conversation with someone, it is a responsibility to watch what you say, because of this fact that it is a spell. And so I will digress a little bit, but the reason I call it a spell is because I was reading this book that my friend gave me, and it's literally called Word Magic, but it basically says how humans, before formal language is invented, we were essentially basically transmuting emotions via facial expressions. And when language started to form, and we were starting to identify things and put labels on everything, this is fire, this is meat, this is a deer, this is the sun, this is the moon, whatever, it created not only a label, but a spell of that label. So it's kind of like I could be sitting around a fire with someone and say, did you see like how the sun is going over this way now instead of this way. And that person could kind of ignore me at the time, but then later in the next day, they'll see how the sun moved that way and they'll be like, oh, that person said this to me and now I'm thinking that way. And so this power of spells has been used against us for centuries, but now more than ever. Freud's nephew, I'm blanking on his name, he was the person that invented propaganda. He invented the need for us to identify with the clothes that we wear and the cars that we drive and the materials that we use at home. Before the 1930s, people were generally buying stuff based on what they needed. And after this man came along, Freud's nephew, he essentially made it so that we identified with this thing. Like, oh, that red Mustang that I have? Yeah, that's me. That's how I embody myself. This suit that I wear every day that costs $300, yes, that's how I carry myself, that's how I am. And we judge each other based on these things, and word magic was a huge part of this. We basically were conditioned to see certain words, certain brand names, and think of something like, oh yeah, like I see the word Apple, for example, and I think of nice computers, and I think of a brand name, and but that's not by accident, because Apple, their whole game was essentially that their marketing scheme was that you were the person who wanted to live the lifestyle of having an Apple computer. They were selling a lifestyle. They weren't selling a product. They were selling, like, this is how you're living. And it's even more so with phones and everything. Now people identify, yes, I'm an Android guy. I'm an Apple guy. I only use Apple computers. I only use Windows computers. Most people have that mindset, and so word magic is so important because we are domesticating ourselves based on brand names and companies that use our vulnerable minds to inject ideas of different lifestyles and different how we hold ourselves. And like all of us, and I'm not an exception to this. All of us have, when we think of something, I personally basically only wear Levi's jeans. I've actually changed to a different brand of jeans just so I can experiment on this. But whenever I think of pants, I literally think of Levi's jeans. I feel so controlled, but it's like I think of, like, what pants last me the longest? Which ones don't degrade? Which ones have the seams that, like, are quote unquote fresh? Like, which ones don't fray in certain places? And I only think of the Levi's jeans. I've changed that because I went shopping in places that sell, like, different brands, and I tried them all on, and I like the fit of other jeans, but I don't even remember the ones I'm wearing now. Like, it's not memorable to me, and I still am conditioned to think of Levi's jeans. And so those companies all have catchy names. They all have this lifestyle that they're trying to sell you, and it works in so many other ways than this, but we do it to each other as well. As I read from the Four Agreements, it's this auto domestication. We have essentially like correlated different brands and different morals, and based on how we were raised, and we control ourselves that way. And it It's something that's happening in politics right now. Trump and Biden are essentially brand names, and they are controlling us by being brand names. And so we need to get away from this and think objectively about everything and see, like, yes, Biden is a brand name. Trump is a brand name. What do those brand names stand for? Not what they're trying to show us what they stand for, but what do they actually, like, what is the actionable things that they are doing? Just like, what is the product that we're trying to buy and what is the reputation? Not what they say the reputation is, because that is something that they're trying to control you with. And so I'm going to continue on the subject. I don't want to go over my 11-minute mark, but I hope everyone has a wonderful day. This is part one of Word Magic and Domestication. I'm excited to help you lose control.